On the project that are expected to be undertaken by the Speaker. And when you deal with such matters, you definitely have got to be very focused, you have to be very general, you have got to be very specific. We've got three speakers, and by 1 o'clock, this meeting must be ending. And if it can end, we don't know whether we'll work over lunch until plenary starts at 3 o'clock. But hope that we'll finish by 1 o'clock. I'll give each sitter 15 minutes. Because we're not dealing with minorities. You are specific. You tell us, yes, we've seen the auditor's report. These are the issues. This is what we're doing. This is what we have done. And we'll hold back within this lot, this particular progress. After 15 minutes, if you have not responded to the AG, then we're going to ask you questions. Because we spent the entire night studying the reports that had been given to us. The ones that you received now, we're studying them. As you present, you'll be studying them. We've got that capacity to do so. Because we know how to study the AG's report. We had a special training with the AG on that as a committee. So it should not be difficult for us to engage with you on our feet. I'm going to take this opportunity to give to the accounting authority for the Safety and Security Sector Education and Training Authority, after which we'll go to the Public Service Sector Education and Training Authority, that will receive the local government sector. In that order. I know that after the accounting authority has spoken, usually that the accounting officer, the CFO, the chief operations officer will then talk to the detail. And all of that has got to happen within that period of 15 minutes. I'll advise you if your time has expired. If it's expired, I'm going to stop you. Like we're also stopped in Parliament. You see, in Parliament, they don't care how long the speech is. When your time is over, you must just stop. So today we're going to do exactly that. Let's try and see that within the 15 minutes, we conclude with our presentation. Thank you. Let's proceed.
Let me quickly introduce myself. I'm A.B. Redboy, the chairperson of the Safety and Security Sector. And with me, I've got a delegation of the senior management of the sector. On my left is the acting CEO, Mrs. Nobekaya Kamada. Next to her is our corporate head, Ms. Isabel Bowden. And on my right is our CFO, Mr. Luvuyo Mboniza. Next to him is one of our senior managers who is responsible for skills administration, Mr. Zolingwa Sheng. And lastly, one of our senior managers who is responsible for the project management, Mr. Makubedi Sikonyana. Honorable Chair, because we're trying to stick into time of 15 minutes, I'm not going to waste time. I will hand over to the acting CEO to just take us through on the issues which we have raised, and our chief financial officer will come in and clarify some few aspects. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable committee members. Good morning. the presentation from the Safety and Security Sectoral Education and Training Authority is taking an approach that will be led by your guidance, because we will zoom on the Auditor General comments about our stage of affairs, and then after that, if we've got a grace period in our 15 minutes, we zoom in our performance information and our financials. All right, we have, in approaching this presentation, consolidated 37 questions that you asked us in the last portfolio committee sitting, which was on the 22nd of June 2011. And we elevated two critical questions that were asked by our house. One was whether, in setting our targets, we are able to profile our sector properly. And we took that as a project in 2011-2012, that of profiling the sector, so that we know when we implement our mandate of improving productivity and reducing unemployment, what type of workplaces we have in the sector. And I'll take you 2 seconds of the profile of the sector, so that as I'm moving towards the internal controls in terms of the Auditor General, we know how they impact in terms of this profile. Okay, the first one is the legal chamber. As you know, the safety and security is comprising of the legal chamber. We have got 11,016 registered legal firms in South Africa. Those are the workplaces that we are supposed to be responding to in terms of productivity and unemployment. The second slide is the registered security business. We have got another chamber which is talking to private security, and we've got 8,828 security service providers in that were registered with us in 2011, and those are talking to the private security chamber. Okay. Third slide is talking to the South African Police Service, which is forming part of our chamber, and we've got 191 police stations in Eastern Cape, 180 in KwaZulu-Natal, 146 in Western Cape, 127 in Gauteng, and so on, as the slide is self-explanatory. Correctional centers. We are currently servicing 241 correctional service centers. Two out of the 241 are private prisons, which is Malawung Maximum Security Private Prison and Kutama Tumule Maximum Security Prison. We've got also the justice sector, which is one of the chambers that we are serving, and we've got 381 in total magistrates. These are talking magistrates only. You know, within the justice there's a number of courts, but we thought that for this presentation, let's zoom on the 142 magistrates that we are supposed to be responding to in terms of improving productivity and reducing unemployment. The third one is, as the council members are aware, that we have got a new baby on the block as a leader, which is the Metro Police and the Traffic Law Enforcement. We've got 142 provincial offices of the Metro Police and Traffic Law Enforcement. Then going to the Auditor General comment about the state of our affairs. Mr. Chair, I think I must upfront acknowledge the challenges that as an organization we have been facing throughout the year 2011-2012, that of moving from NSDS 2 to NSDS 3 and the introduction of the new governance into the city environment, and also the new planning framework that has been introduced by the Department of Higher Education, thus aligning the city's reporting systems to the broader government planning framework. And throughout the year, we have been trying to keep a balance of delivering on our mandate, but also reviewing our systems in such a way that they are aligned to the planning framework. All right, can you go to the general comment? Basically, there are 4 major findings in terms of our audit report that has resulted to us getting a qualification for the first time in 11 years. For the past 10 years, we have been getting a clean audit report, but for the first time in 2011-2012, we're getting a qualified audit opinion. These areas of the audit opinion are areas, this one, major issue findings and progress. These are the areas that are all, even though they resulted into 62 sub-findings. But what we have done in response, we looked at the 4 major areas. One was the issue of our performance information, where AG is saying there are no proper controls in place over planning, implementation, and reporting of performance information. As I've alluded to the committee, that for 2011-2012, we have been moving from the CETA's planning system and CETA reporting system of the past and aligning it to the new plan framework. And we have been found wanting in as far as adherence to national treasury guidelines and regulations in terms of submission, date of strategic plan, annual performance plans, and quarterly reporting as required by the treasury regulations. But what we have done as a remedial action to that one is to design and implement a system that will ensure that proper record keeping, accurate and complete recording of information, review and monitoring of financial information, reorganize our filing system, nominate an implementation team across departments, review the record management policy. But what I can say here with regard to performance information, we have since submitted the draft strategic plan within the timeline that AGE requires of us, that is take 1 August to the Department of Higher Education and Training, together with our performance annual performance plan, together with our budget that is required to accompany that. And we are now reporting on a quarterly basis in terms of our achievements for 2018-2018 in terms of quarterly reports as required by the Department of Higher Education and Training. The second binding was talking to the issue. This was the main finding as well. The one was the commission information. The second one was the non-reconciliation between mandatory grant and discretionary grant and our finance system. What AG had said, they could not put reliance on our information in terms of the reconciliation. Remember, mandatory grants and discretionary grants are implemented by our core department, and financial information is handled by the CFO. AG didn't want to put reliance on the information received from the CFO, but they wanted to get information from the source department. And from the source department and the CFO's office, our documentation would not reconcile in terms of giving AG appropriate figures in terms of the amount spent on mandatory grants and discretionary grants. And we tried to give them information, but up until the end of the audit, they were saying they were not able to accept the information as a true reconciliation of what was performed versus what was paid to our service providers. That was our major finding. And as a response to that, what we are doing monthly reconciliations of project expenditure. Between the CFO's office and the two offices, there has to be monthly reconciliations, and quarterly, those reconciliations must be presented to the board, for the board to sign it off, so that you don't have this finding again, because this is what has landed up to a qualification, because these were issues of how we are managing our finances in the state. So we are saying on those monthly project expenditure and quarterly records, the board will satisfy itself that between what has been approved and paid for in terms of mandatory grants and discretionary grants, there's a proper reconciliation between what our financials are reflecting on a quarterly basis. The third aspect of our finding is talking to our record management. The AG has found that one thing, Mr. Chair, in terms of how we keep our records. This is what has led to this non-reconciliation. The filing system in the CETA environment has been found to be wanting, and we are implementing a record management project that seeks to turn around our record management in such a way that there is proper accountability of all files that are kept in the CETA and all information that is kept from the CETA for audit purposes. The fourth aspect in terms of the Auditor General's comment, supply chain. It's supply chain management weaknesses that have resulted in irregular expenditure. When they were looking at our supply chain environment, they found our environment very weak in terms of internal controls in that environment. And in some of the areas, those weaknesses in the controls have resulted to irregular expenditure. And one of the main issues that they raised for the 2011-2012, the delegations of the board to the CEO didn't capture the issue of the CEO approving deviations from our supply chain management policy. And during the year, the CEO had approved these deviations, and an omission was not capturing that in our documented delegations of authority from the board to the CEO. And we have since amended those delegations to the CEO so that the CEO can be properly delegated to approve deviations from the supply chain management policy. The issue of our supply chain management database, I think that was the other area where they say we need to review, because in some instances we're using service providers that are not registered in our database based on a need basis. And issue of inadequate of capacity in our supply chain environment, which we are now reviewing our organizational structure such that we capacitate that department to be enabled to respond to these issues. Those were the major four findings, Mr. Chair, in terms of the Auditor General's report that have led us for the first time in 11 years to get a qualification. But we are taking this as a platform for improvement going forward to say never again that we are going to get these findings in our management letter, because we have developed a proper action plan that has been approved by Audit and Risk Committee and our board in response to the audit findings. I will now allow the CFO to take us through our financial performance in relation to these findings.
Have your structure been approved? The passed on by the minister, that is, it has been approved. Now the AG here says it's nothing about witnesses. He's speaking about lawlessness. But on page 25, the AG says for transactions where you must get three quotations. You don't get three quotations. It's just like you at home, you know, you just call anybody, come work here. It's very clear that if there is a transaction above 500,000 rand, half a million, it must be a public tender. It's clear, it's known, and a tender must be for 21 days. If there is an agency, you must then explain that and a deviation may be allowed. That's what he says. He's not talking about witnesses. He says there are people who believe that there's no law in this country. Let's answer that one. Who is this? Who are these people who were engaged in this transaction? Who is responsible for supply chain management? That's what I want to hear today. No, not, I want to go to the finances. We'll see them. The finances are here for us.
Okay.
Because I'm realizing you are not responding to my questions. I'm taking over now. Tell us, page 25, the AG says, you do not follow procedure, laws of the land. And I don't understand who is responsible for that.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. There were instances where we had to sort the three quotations, but because of practicalities, we couldn't sort the three quotations. You will find that probably, for example, if you advertise in a media, like you're advertising for tenders, between Media 24, they own almost all the newspapers. So in those instances, you wouldn't go for competitive bid because we advertise in the Sunday Times and City Press. So what will happen, though, is that because our delegation of authority wasn't properly crafted, so what you'll find is that the CEO had the power to approve. There were motivations and memos, had the power to approve.
Explain that to us very well. Exactly the point. You see, the CEO could approve a project because you are averse to giving this media for monopoly an advert. That's what that means. You just fear to advertise. You don't want to reach Media 24. That's why you just issue tenders differently. That's what you are telling us. And I'm saying the CFO.
No, what I'm saying is that there are two major publications. One is the Media 24, which owns Sunday Times and Star. And then there's another one, I've forgotten the name, which owns City Press and the rest. So between the two of them, they cover all the newspapers that are there in the country. But now our problem was that we couldn't go for a competitive bid to say we want to get a three quotation system. So what we did was to write a motivation. Part of that motivation was approved by the CEO. But in this instance, when the auditors found that he...
Help us. We are a good committee, and there's no media here. You are promoting me. Getting three quotations, you don't get them from the media.
Yeah.
Let's not talk like we are in another country. Quotations, you get them from any service provider. If you need a cup, you can go to any shop where they sell cups. You get a quotation, go to another, and it's done by a procurement officer. If you don't have a procurement officer, you can ask an admin officer to do that. If you don't have that, the CFO can do that himself because he's getting paid. Are you saying you failed to get quotations because of meeting 24 to this committee?
No, Chairperson. What I'm trying to explain is that if you want to advertise in the Sunday Times and the Star, they only handle all the requests centrally. That is the Media 24 head offices, where all the publications are listed. So if all your publications you want to use are under them, you will not be getting a quotation from the Star, a quotation from Sunday Times, but the Media 24, as an example, you will get the quote from their office. So they will give you a quote to say you can advertise for so much in this publication. So that's what I'm saying. So in those instances where it was impractical, because in the supply chain sometimes there are the monopolies that you cannot really run away from. But what is important is that the board has delegated the CEO to approve those deviations from normal processes. But what happened here is that the board had given the CEO had, as part of the delegation of authority, allowed the CEO to sign on those deviations. Those deviations were signed at CEO level. They were explaining why we couldn't go the quotation route, and then the auditors picked the bone to say that in the absence of an explicit delegated authority from the board to say CEO, you can sign on behalf of the board for all the deviations, therefore were found to be wanting. And that's the part of the example. Some examples were that in some instances.
Okay, that's fine. Just tell us which transactions were those, how much are involved, who was then picked up for those transactions. And then maybe because it's a clear question. I want to understand why in this sector you fail to get quotations. Nobody has got authority to say don't get quotations. Where you cannot go, for instance, where there is a disaster, you may not need a bid if the amount is above 500,000 rands. Let me give you a simple example. Where the pump is burst in your office unexpectedly, you could not imagine that it will occur, and fix that will cost a lot of money, over 500,000 rands, and you cannot then advertise for 21 days because water will fill up your offices, it will destroy infrastructure, it will affect the health of your employees. On that basis, we deviate from a public tender. But you still need quotations. You still require three simple quotations, not the big C, which can get in 5 minutes, three quotations. Maybe the chair must answer that one, because we can't hear we're at the same level of engagement on such a simple matter. Three quotations.
Thank you very much, Chair. There has been a trend in the city of avoiding the three code system and therefore deviating. And as a result of that, the board has now changed deviations, because previously deviations were approved by the CEO. And having identified that witness, we had also, in our last meeting where we dealt with the action plan on the audit queries, there are some areas which we said the CEO needs to provide us with more information, because we believe in those areas there have been deliberate negligence committed, which could result into a disciplinary hearing. So I think what the CFO was explaining was one of those instances where we have not been able to follow the three quotation system but Chair, without making any excuses, there has been a trend. And the board is aware of that and is trying to get rid of that trend, which is wrong, which has been picked up by the by the Auditor General. And I think also as the CEO was presenting, lastly, to say that we have also identified that we have a serious challenge of capacity within the supply chain management. That's why they can make these excuses to say that you are unable to find three quotations. And one thing for sure, if you are unable to do that, it opens you up for corruption. And in some instances, that's why we're saying that there are specific areas where, for example, now there's an investigation on supply chain management. We've got two investigations, which will be considered by the board. They're complete. The board is going to sit on the 16th, and the 15th and 16th to do the risk management assessment. But we're going to have a special board to look at the recommendations of those reports so that we could be able to take a decision based on the recommendations. So that's the scenario, Chair. Thanks.
Members, that's how you speak to the committee. We need proper responses, not just speaking. Can, members, do you have any questions to raise? Just from me, let's assist from giving transactions to people that don't even have any relationship with us. That's what the agency says. You must vet every person who must be vetted. That's what the treasury regulations and practices must say to us. And it's very easy to do that. It doesn't take a year. It doesn't take 10 minutes to phone some to check on a company, whether it is existing or not in their database, whether it is paying tax. It's not difficult. Let's not create a situation where you tell us that we're going to train people on how to solve the quotation. Because you can't say that. You can't say that. A four-year-old, if he's clever, you can send your child to go and get a quotation just next door, or to mom who is there and get a paper on a table and it'll be solved. That is what is for me. We'll discuss. What do we need? We need to disclose all these transactions that the AD has seen here, where you're not getting quotations, the amounts involved, and the companies that have been awarded the transactions that were not on the SARS database. Submit that to the committee within 2 weeks. We'll call you if we think something problematic. We will request sometime from the AG for a forensic study of our transactions in the CITES. If we don't get the necessary cooperation, but if we cooperate, the committee will take its own decision without going the drastic way. We'll try you to disclose all the transactions that have been noted by the AG in the report regarding audits. The last question I would like you to respond to relates to issues about placement of learners and apprenticeships and others to students who are studying either in universities, who are studying either in FET colleges, who could be studying in any other institution and have engaged with you. Just on that, for me, I want to see whether indeed your performance is aligned to an industry, because we have said that you must start giving either discretionary grants, you must start giving bursaries to students and all that. You must start going to universities, to FETs, placing those people who would like to get their workplace training for purposes of qualifying for their diplomas and degrees. Just on that. Then the advice I would like to give you as members are preparing to engage with you You see, you have got a clear indication of how many police stations you have in the country, how many courts you have, how many prisons or correctional service centers we have. Now, all those institutions have got various sections. They've got supply chain management, they've got HRM or HRD, they've got communications, they've got various divisions or units. And now you could study their organogram and even advise as to how many learners they could take from various resources. Very easy. It's not the thing that you correct your scar. You are not being asked to produce something that can be done by human beings. It's just very simple to sit down and start thinking just like a person who is interested to help South Africa. Because we really need to see all these institutions that are under your jurisdiction able to pay the students. Let me hear your progress in that regard, and then I'll allow members, if members don't have any questions to ask, then we'll excuse you, and then believe that the chairperson of the board will facilitate the record that we require, because we must take a decision at a committee in regards to this matter. That aspect of non-compliance with laws and regulations, we are bound by law to take an action. For instance, if you really care to read the Public Finance Management Act, particularly from the back, it says that if the accounting officer contravenes Section 5.1, that is keeping records, you are liable for a statutory criminal offense which could take you 5 years. Incarceration. I want to say. And apparently we don't receive claim from that. We don't even read these contents. We don't look at it. And you must begin to dust it off, because as a committee, where we find that there is suspicion, we must start utilizing the parliamentary legal services to press charges against accounting officers. We don't have to recommend to the department anymore. We must just simply report the matter to the police, because it's a criminal offense. It's not a matter that needs the department. It's not a disciplinary inquiry. It needs the police. I think we want to go that route. So we need that sort of cooperation. Can I get an answer to that question?
We have achieved 494, which gives us a variance of 1,682. One of the reasons is the late advertisement of our project. As I alluded, Mr. Chair, in my preliminary, that throughout the year, we were aligning ourselves to the government reporting planning cycle, and it delayed the issuing of our advert. And our adverts were issued very late in the financial year, and such that towards the end of the financial year, most contracts were not concluded for reporting in the new financial year. And as we speak on quarter two of this current financial year, as a result of that, we have overachieved that target on learnership entered. So in trying to cover up for that variance that we had experienced because of late advertisement of our project. The other issue is the...
Let me hear that. On placement of students, you need an advert. I just want to hear today. If you want to place a student from a college, you need to advertise. We've got 50 public FETs. We know them by name. We know their contacts. 50. Now, if you want to place students from those, do you really need to advertise? So let's not talk in reality now. We'll talk about the project. You invited me to projects. I was talking about students. Projects is now another field now. But tell us how many projects we have, how much money involved, and all that. We'll come to that. I asked about placement of students, giving bursaries to students. I don't know what I've been listening to here. Giving bursaries to students in your field. For instance, if you are dealing with lawyers, how many law students have you given a bursary to study in LMB? That's simple. How many students assisted to security officers, private security officers, if that's what we're interested in. You know, that's all we need. Because once you don't answer my questions, I'm going to cross-examine you now. It's going to be very nasty. I used to be in Scopa. Once you begin to answer like that, I will take a new approach.
Four areas, that is issues of learnerships, artists, bursaries, and FG collaboration. But can we zoom into the question of bursaries, how many bursaries we issued and placed in the FG college and the senior manager, Mr. Washington? Can you take us through the annual report?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I think we have already indicated that we could not actually succeed in giving out this bursary to the students. Due, of course, to the problems that they've already been alluded to. So I think really there's not much that we could say, safe to say that because of those late adverts to attract those students, we taken on board that we could not actually do that. But I think there are remedial actions that the CEO has already alluded to in terms of taking the process forward.
Thank you very much. I think you've actually touched on the issues that is actually relevant. But what I'm not clear at now, maybe we don't see the full picture. Obviously, the teachers are there to get people and students qualified in some or other a subject or skill. And if you look at the budget that we spent about 150 million rands on grants. But we don't see the outcome. I don't seem to understand what is the outcome. What have we achieved? How many people have gone through the training and have been qualified? How many have been certificated that they have come to the end of their qualification? I think what we are interested in is really to see if the system is working properly. And if we can only identify that, and you've dedicated on some of the practical, how shall I say, more issues that is in the administration. But the real issue here to us is what is the achievement that they've done. And in the figures that we are getting here, it doesn't seem to us that it looks very good.
It would mean that before the chair of the board, we'll need a breakdown of the money that Dr. Bosman speaks about. So that you know which projects, which you were late to advertise, what are these projects? Because I don't think the department would fail to give you funding through LSF if you put a clear plan. We have identified 50 students from this college. They want to study security. They want to be security officers. Some want to be investigators. They want to study in Germany. Some want to study in Scotland, in Britain. We need funding. These are their names, these qualifications or whatever. A clear plan. I don't think you can fail to get funding. But let's agree that you will, because I don't see any breakdown of the project. Let me allow the deputy minister to go to a meeting of the subcommittee of cabinet to leave. We need to hear that a breakdown of those projects that you had in this period. And not only, even now, in fact, just give us all the projects, say the previous, these are the projects, this is the money involved, these are the companies, because you love service providers, so also you want to know the service providers. These are the service providers.
Can I just yes. Can I just add on? I think what worries me also is that, you know, the institutions like the FEG colleges that we need to support, it doesn't seem to me that there is real, some substantial agreement as far as that's concerned. It is supported that they are in negotiations, but I would have taken it for granted that, you know, the seats have been in place for quite a number of years. So I think we should really have done the basic issues so that we can have facilities where the people can go to, so that we can get a picture of students in the end of the day for the money that we spent.
There were two much with whom they are negotiating. We have got our content advisor who is still doing such work. We don't lie to us and say you are talking to which college, because we are going to find them when we leave there now. People work here now. If we are negotiating, Just as we have not done it, just say please, we are still trying to think how to reach Eastern Cape. We don't know because of the rain and so on. So by then we know, we don't have any relationship. We can start helping you on how to get there.
Well, like I said, hey, apology for, you know, being late. It's a very report. There are a lot of questions that are rising as I see these things, but well, probably you can give us an explanation. Because when you're saying there are signatures that are still pending, does it mean you don't get any cooperation from these refugees? The unfortunate part is that now all these refugees will engage with them now and then. The fortunate part is that I'm from Mpumalanga. All the refugees in Mpumalanga, I phone the CEOs and check which sector are they collaborating with. And they never informed about you. And I even asked them whether you have any challenges of engaging or collaborating with these refugees. I mean, with these teachers. Well, it's another thing that to respond to. The problem must be able to give us. What, do you have any challenges in at least, you know, opening the state there and playing in that field? But also the department must be able to account to say, you know, for the whole financial year, you know, this city is not performing. Has the department also made its supervision? Yes.
Allow the members to ask so that then we can pass and go to the second sitter. We don't have the long bit of time,
yeah.
But the more you don't answer, the more things get debating. Let's go to page 71 there. On a regular expenditure, instance. I would like to confirm, is there 12 million there on this joint venture agreement with employers and sales providers? Well, apparently there's something wrong there. Yes, you need coordination from the board. And that has not been done. Because when the board condones anything that is illegal, then the board goes to the firing squad. We want to hear what went on here. Just explain, it's about 16 million. Or more, yeah. Let's solve those and then we'll pass.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me start with the last one. When we started last year, we came across this issue of joint ventures. And immediately, the board, I think in its first or second board meeting, we have put a stop to this joint venture. Well, the intention might have been good, but the practice, obviously, something went wrong terribly. I'll just give you one example. And when I talk about investigations, this one example that I'm giving you is the one that we're subjected to an investigation. You have a joint venture here between two people. A contract gets issued to a service provider who's not even accredited by the city for about 700,000. This joint venture, so this service provider has entered into a JV with another one. Then subcontract the work to the one who is a part of the joint venture and who does the actual work and who is accredited. And that person does the work for 100,000. Only gets paid 100,000. The rest, 600,000, gets to this person who got the contract. And when we tried to, as a board, to understand what happened, we couldn't get all the answers. But fine, if you can't answer us, we'll subject this to a forensic investigation. Probably we'll get answers from that investigation. So we tackled this one, Chair, as a board. It's one of those investigations that I reported earlier. With regards to quickly to the issues that you raised, we had made some strides, but let me just tell you, I sometimes get frustrated because the manner in which management moves, they move very slow in realizing these things. There have been some achievements, for example, on leadership there's about 1,000 that we're going to start now with the department between ourselves and the Department of Education. We're talking about 600 artisans, which we're talking with the Department of Defense. They have agreed to give us those artisans. So with regards to bursaries, we have amended the policy because the policy that has been there made it very difficult. There was a disjunction between our processes and the processes of the university. We will find that project gets advertised, for example, in October. When students have got to apply, that process gets finalized by December. When would the people have applied? So we said, no, this has changed. This is the policy. We're going to allocate the money for bursaries, but it has to be subject to the policy guidelines, not for advertising, so that people are not late when they have to start university, and you know that the funds are there after the approval. With regard to placement, Chair, I think we have done very little there. And I think the example that we have taken, or the approach that you have raised in terms of us talking to the department, we are in the process of talking. That's where the process is slow. From the department's response, for them to tell us how many people they can absorb per each department. But I must say that there are cases, for example, where there's good cooperation between us and the department, like correctional services, for example, for the entry, new entry, we would call out. And for the police as well, when they take new entrants, we would call fund, as well as with pilots, for example. Because it's very expensive to train a pilot, who would agree on a co-founding. So there has been some progress that has been made. But with regards to placement, really, around supply chain, HRM, finance, with the department, the response from the department is a bit slow for them to be able to give us vacancies where we can negotiate for placement of students from the FET College.
With regards to the FET College collaboration, as of 31 March, that is the time of this annual report, the contract of the FET colleges were not concluded. And as we speak, the MOU with Gert Nzimande, Ehlanzeni, and Kangala, and MRTT in Mpumalanga FET College have been concluded. We have also been identified by DHET as a mediator in three FET colleges, which is a Tekwini FET College, a Langen FET College, and the one that is in Newcastle, FET College. And we are in the process of opening an office within the premises of Etebini FET College. We are earmarking the month of February for the opening of that office and running of that particular office because we have concluded all other processes. But what we are doing now is to realign or refurbish the office to suit our requirements and also board approve the organizational structure for our regional office. So KZN is one of the offices that we will be reporting in this particular financial year as an office that we have achieved the provincial presence in.
Let's then colleagues proceed to the next speaker. We'll allow the chairperson to furnish us with the forensic reports upon condition of investigation so that we could look into that and breakdown of the projects that are existing in the field and progress. You have heard the content of the concerns we have. We will then write upon I think we'll advise you within the time, but let me check.
Probably the other thing that I should add in on top of what you're saying, probably they must also give us a what is their strategic approach in terms of addressing all these financial challenges. As in one of their reports, page 25, they are saying there are other financial legislation that they even follow. What plans they have to ensure that in the following financial year they will find themselves into the very same problem.
It's not about plan, however. You must tell them directly that no one is going to contravene the law. That is just as clear as that. The board will make sure that does not happen. And we'll have to take action. If the forensic report finds anybody complicit to any sort of illegality, definitely action must be taken. And we'll make sure that we follow that up. The committee, this is the request that I'm going to make the committee and our research. Whenever a report of the AG raises a matter of illegality, We must involve the parliamentary legal services to make sure that we go to the NPA, we go to the police, ourselves as parliament. There's no reason for us to go to the parliament for such matters. Because laws are made by the parliament. So if they are contravened, we must be the first ones to be concerned. So we must just press charges, and I think we should engage with the process of the Department of Justice. They are intending, planning, I think, initials that they will have a dedicated court for public servants who are corrupt, who don't follow law, so that they don't have to be wasting time. It must be like during the time of the Soccer World Cup, you know, if you assault somebody today, tonight to appear, because that person is from abroad. Now it's going to be public servants. We must re-pursue this case. Let's proceed to the public service presentation.
My name is Tumbo Mashiku, and I am the chairperson of the Ukita Board. With me is the CFO, Mr. Mchanga, the Chief Operations Officer, Konya, and our CEO, Ms. Kulum. The outline of our presentation is as follows. But in the interest of time, we'll zoom in just into the highlights and achievements based on the strategic objectives, and then we'll go into directly to the report of the Auditor General. Okay. And then from there, we'll talk to our challenges and then conclusions. Based on our 13 strategic objectives as reflected in the 2011-2012 annual report, our highlights are as follows. We managed to secure funding for our core business from NSF. This is due to the fact that our operational cost, our operational budget is very, very minimal and was not able to cover our core business project. And then we managed to finalize our sector field plan, which was evidence-based, and also completed the sector career guide, which was also distributed to our stakeholders. We managed to launch shared service mobile career guidance campaign in rural areas, and then we were able to build capacity among the skill development facilitators and also within training committees within the departments. And also we engaged with the Federal Education and Training Institute and also higher education and training institutions, and we managed also to register two learnerships. I must indicate that with higher education institutions, the process is still ongoing. It has not really been smooth sailing. However, with the three FETs, we've managed to sign a memorandum of understanding. We managed to establish an in-house trade and accident unit, staffed by a trade and accident specialist, and also we partnered with the NAMB, DPSA, Digital Forum, Premier Office, Premier's Offices, and also other CICAS in joint development initiatives. We also are initiating a training provider accreditation and capacity building project, also research project on trains and assistance and the recognition of prior learning. And then we also reviewed the key strategic policies and then introduced processes and procedures to make sure that we comply with legal and statutory requirements. In terms of our flagship projects, these are conducted in the 6 provinces: Limpopo, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, Northern Cape, and Northwest. And then also we have others taking place within the government departments across the board. And the CEO will give more details on this. And then I will move directly to the report of the Auditor General. Just background in terms of the report of the Auditor General. In the prior year, we had a disclaimer of opinion based on NSF funds, which were received in the 2004-2005 financial year. This was because of the leadership projects, which were funded through NSF funding with a budget of 107. However, we need to state that of the 107 million amount, only 97 million was actually transferred to PCTA for the staples. This project was characterized by fraudulent activities, lack of proper records, and non-cooperation with audits, and also gross negligence. The NSF could only verify expenditures in an amount of 60 million, hence the liability of 30.7 million in the prior year's annual report. However, in the 2011-2012 financial year, executive management implemented a plan to address the disclaimer issue by searching for the relevant supporting documentation in the 5 provincial departments which were involved in the project. Management plan proved to be successful as the NSF deferred income liability was reduced from 30.7 million to 6.1 million to the satisfaction of the Auditor General. Hence, we moved from disclaimer of opinion into a qualification in this, the previous financial year. The report of the Auditor General also indicated a number of other areas which required improvement. These related to procurement and expenditure management, risk management, IT governance, and reporting on objectives. What we did here in terms of remedying this, the board decided that in their board meetings, the agenda should zoom into all these issues so that it's ongoing issues that our management report on. And also in the appointment of the audit committee, we have a member that will advise board specifically on issues of IT governance. So we are hoping that these issues will receive attention in the current financial year. The special investigation unit has been tasked by PCTA to investigate matters relating to the 2005-2010 activities, including the fraudulent activities that were kept as a result of the misappropriation of funds. I will skip this slide. I will go through the challenges. PCTA is financially depressed as it receives no levy payments from a government department. The financial transgressions during 2005-2010 have been referred to the SIU for investigation, and we are awaiting the presidential proclamation on the issue. A lease agreement was entered into in July 2010 by a previous board without following proper SEM procedures. This resulted in an irregular expenditure of 5 million per annum. We are currently in discussions with the landlord to exit. However, this also is proving to be difficult. However, the SIU is also looking into this.
I'm not interfering with your presentation. Let me call the committee when you talk about SIU. Go some bit of detail. Well, that's what I want to hear. That's the purpose of accountability. We can call the SIU here. We usually call them. But to reduce the time of not calling them, just tell us in this project this is involved. Committee members are clear. So that we must not say, yes, there are these SIU issues, must call a hearing for SIU. Because Our portfolio companies got many entities, so we don't have time to do that. We depend on you, particularly the board. The board must not be directed. Like the, you see the terms of the, we could not bring along on the safety because the chair just came in and don't know why. This on that, and it will be, we be convinced that there will be progress. So let's see what we
The main two issues that the NIU is looking at is the issue of the NSF fund that was misappropriated. In order, there was a prior investigation that was done by PricewaterhouseCoopers, and that has been finalized. So what now the SIU will be looking into is to zoom into to get the documentation that is outstanding, and also to look into the bank accounts of those alleged members who have committed the fraud into the amount that we are talking about. However, without the proclamation, the SIU indicated that it's going to be difficult for them to seize documents and also to subpoena those members who have alleged to have conducted fraud.
Who's initiating? I know that the president must sign a proclamation. Who's initiated the process?
The board has initiated that process. We have received a letter of support from the Minister of Higher Education and Training, and the Minister is also engaging the Minister of Justice on that regard. We had a discussion with the SIU representative who is sitting on this. He has assured that probably around next week the proclamation will be gazetted.
Yes. You see now, part of progress around here. Continue.
And I think the same issue will also be the case in terms of the lease agreement, the regular 5 million amount.
And this 50 million from the NSF for unsigned NSF project, it appears on page 33.
The CFO or the CEO to speak to this.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to honourable members. As was indicated by the Chairperson, this NSF liability comes from 2004-2005. Yes, it's that the one which when PCTA was still under the DPSA as a chief director. Now, the NSF in the last financial year had claimed, the AG had claimed that they could not accept the evidence of the report that was submitted by the DPSA at that stage to the NSF because the two reports were unsigned. But when we recalled for that information, now we managed to reduce it to 6.1 because we then showed to the AG that these documents were actually signed by the acting CEO at that time within the DPSA. So that is part of the issues, and we also managed to get supporting documents for one of the issues was learner records. The AG wanted attendance registers to support the payments of stipends during that time. So what the executive management did is that we went into five provinces and we asked provincial premier's officers who were managing this project at that time to go into the archives and pull out the supporting documentation. And that's how we managed to reduce the liability from the 30.7 million to 6.1. The AD was actually very impressed that in a short space of time we managed to get all of these documents because they were 7 years old actually. Thank you, Chair.
The AG are not quite impressed. I read them every week. Now, let me go to performance information. I think the issue that we need to attend to is about the performance information. Some of the things must not be major projects. I mean, projects that appear in an annual performance plan must be projects that are strategic projects for the financial year. There are some issues that belong to an operational report which may not detail those strategic objectives of health. The AG, we spoke to the DG in our engagement department to organize a meeting with all sitters relating to the aspect, because the AG is concerned that many of the sitters are not providing useful information for purpose of voting in relation to performance. And would like particularly this, the concerns of the CETA relating to the fact that the state must ensure that all departments begin to give you the 1% of the wage bill to be processed. It's a matter that you can get our support. However, when things are in order, because it goes into billions, it goes into serious billions. However, they are dealing with also over a million employees, I think, public service, 1.3 million. Now, most of these people want training. So it's easy for you to call upon public servants to submit their proposal for study with various institutions. Some are even going to go abroad, and then you can look at begin to sustain you for these people. It will be very, very easy to really deal with this aspect. The issue that we really need your sitter to deal with from our side, in terms of coordinating placement in provincial and national departments and state-owned enterprises, is a very major matter. In fact, you must be a leading sitter in this area because you are here in the public service. That is one issue that I really would like to raise with you. I may not speak for you because of the fact that you gave a good explanation. We did not want to get the reports of the previous minister, if I recall, because he was dealing with disciplinary matters and all those matters, and I felt we needed to give them space to process those matters, and there were some achievements that we did report as in relation to this aspect. Can I get the members engaging with this and then we proceed? However, yesterday, the AG was processing a disclaimer in Parliament. The Parliament is very slow. Yesterday, in the House, if you follow debate, Temba Godi was reporting on the PCTA about a disclaimer of the other year. Now we approved that yesterday. So in my mind, it is a disclaimer. So I couldn't sleep very well that disclaimer, but as I was studying overnight, I then realized it's not progress. Whenever there's a qualified report, never use the word progress. You must just say we are still a patient, stay balanced in a ward with nurses and doctors moving around with machines beeping around us. So, and it's not progress. We call progress when you are up now, walking out of the hospital, wearing your own clothes. You know, now you are out. You are no longer an ill patient. Once you are here, know that you are sick. And you must attend to members. Let's engage with this. If you know, for the illustration. Prof, I'm just prompting members to raise issues. But if there's no issue, we can proceed to a...
The context is structures that come here. This is called outside, I'm reading, public service sector education training. Inside, I read annual report of the public sector education with after this. Inside that, the very page. It is public service education. I'm not sure which one is which one. And again, I usually file these things, Mark. Why? I always refer to something here so that I will know which document it is. I don't know whether you have responded to, because it surprised me on page, on the auditor. Which page? On page 93, on paragraph 19, I just kind of wanted to put that into context. When the material misstatements identified by Total were not adequately corrected, which resulted in the, I don't know at what stage that was not done and why it wasn't. You can also go to India again. It says, the accounting authority did not take reasonable steps to prevent energy expenditure and food waste. What worries me more is 22. The accounting authority did not adequately guide, direct, and review the development of performance of internal control. One of the authorities are basic. It's something that happened. It's a norm. But when it gets here to the auditor drawing you to that, I end up saying, well, what could be the reason behind that? So thank you, sir.
Prof, raising a very important issue. They are turning us into what we are not. We are not very harsh people. You see, you don't need to be a lawyer to know what law is. I don't think if I'm in an office, you may ask Anel. Anel would not come to my office when his report is not proper. I know what I'm dealing with. I said, I've read your report. Just go and deal with it properly. Follow this and that and that and that and that. Before the end of the day, we can engage. Because you cannot enter. If you are a CFO, you see yourself signing a document, for instance, authorizing a transaction involving money without knowing whether proper process is followed, you don't go to jail. Because you're not spending your money. But when somebody asks you for a cigarette in the streets, you can do that easily without asking anybody, but with the state money. The first thing you do is to say, how much is involved, which policy has been followed, for what process has been followed. That's what you must do. And that's the responsibility basically of the CFO. And that's the responsibility of the chief operations officer, that are the ones who deal with projects. Before they sign these things, before they are signed off by the accounting officer, he also or she has got the responsibility to verify everything, because you will never, divest your responsibility by an explanation that, no, I trust my junior officials. They are experts in this field. It doesn't work like that. That's why the man of the police, the chief of the police, said in one inquiry, I signed this thing of a lease agreement of $1 billion on top of a bonnet of a car. See? You know, literally on a bonnet. No, I could not verify the content, the billion. I mean, it's gross negligence of the West order. You can't defend that before any judge in South Africa, you know? You do not sign a document to go to state, man, without studying it. That's the basic principle. So, Prof is actually saying, let's not do that. And he said that in a professional way, you know, and I'm a bit arrogant today, because this reflects badly on the minister and on this committee. Because it means we are not conducting our oversight properly if our sitter may not even know what to report to the AD. So I think let's go and clean up our annual performance information. If there are any variations that have to be entered, that is going to be approved by the minister. And that is the Minister of Higher Education and Training. I heard the Minister of public service speaking strangely in the house, because that is not in terms of the law. I mean, we do not want the sitters to go astray now. They are in one basket. There won't be a sitter in another department, a sitter with a wood. That won't happen, because it is the Minister of Higher Education and Training who specifies these institutions. And we are certified on the 1st of April. It was a Sunday when we registered. It was not because it was the fault the minister was going to change. It was because it was the first day of the financial year. That's how one attends law in South Africa. It was not because, that kind of thing. So let's understand what happens here, and we will defend our work as Parliament to make sure that we have got a coherent, a seamless system in our country. Let's then go to the next report. I think we'll be notified of the proclamation, and then we'll follow that. Thank you very much. Let them go to the last report of the local government Secondary Education and Training Authority. I hope that will correct what Forrest noticed, that there were two different names, public sector, public service. So clarify that for that. Yes, yes. Yes, welcome. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members and colleagues. Chair, I think the point which one wanted to raise is just to formalize the discussion I had with you earlier, that the LG CETA would like to withdraw its presentation. We have very important issues where we are engaging the Minister and the Department, so we would like to be actually allowed an opportunity to continue, finalize, and be able to come back to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
It was reported to us that the report of your CETA was not tabled to Parliament as required in terms of the timelines. Because when it is not tabled, the Minister will then have to give a written explanation to Parliament as to why that was not tabled. And we do not want our sector to have some explanations to do as regards compliance with the law. Even when the book are not in order, just throw them in, you know, and correct them in the progress and see how you respond to the AG when they say there are misstatements here and there and so on. It will put you in difficulties. But just a response. We'd like to hear what is your response to other issues relating to irregular expenditure raised by the AG on page 49.
Maybe, Chair, that's mainly the point we wanted to raise, because the point we raised earlier of late submission relates to some of the issues that we have been engaging the Minister and the Department on. We would like to give partial reports or responses, and we would actually ask that you hold that issue so that we come back, including that issue, give full clarity. There are actually organizational internal issues which are very interesting challenges. We are trying to work around the executive structure administration to correct that, but we don't want to actually come and present in piecemeal, because maybe we should actually give you a comprehensive response relating to the report as well, even late submissions. Thank you, Chair.
Then when you hope to do that, can I allow members to take a decision on that? I don't take it from the Chair, you know, I'm not allowed to do so. Okay.
Just want to check how much time do they need, because we'll need to get this response as quick as we can, because we can't delay in this process. But somebody, there are other persons that you must be able to deal with within the issue of the Department. That concerning also the issue of the funding of the teachers and the likes.
Let me hear the one responsible for CETA's Department. The best place to answer this one. When do they think they would have met this CETA to engage on this issue? Well, in any event, you may not change the content of the report. We already have it. In fact, when the late you come, the more time you give us to prepare to cut your head. Well, that is our responsibility. Members are exhausted. Some of us were debating yesterday, so we don't have much energy. But if you allow me to read this report, then we're going to study page by page, and it's going to be very interesting. We're only doing this because we know that we must finish the BRRR process, and it's going to be hectic. And it's even better because I mean, by now it's 10:30. You couldn't have engaged with three reports. It means we're just very fast. Usually, we take the entire day on the sit. So, let me hear from the department. When do you think you would have engaged with the sitter?
No, Chairperson, thanks for that. This is our priority because we are engaging with the minister around the process. So by Friday, we would have concluded the engagement with the minister. And it would require us 2 weeks from there then to finalize the engagement with the sector. But we wanted then to first finalize the processes with the minister so that we get some process issues sorted out.
Can I chip in? No, I think 2 weeks is too much. Can we give the department 1 week? They must so I need a response. Once you complete with these issues of the report, as soon as possible. So the issue of 2 weeks is out. We give you 1 week, if you complete it, then so that and then will be able to secure the date so that the sector can best to her. Thank you.
Okay, now let's give them an opportunity to be able to process all the matters. Because our CFO in the department still owes a report. Elephants don't forget, yes, please. And please, let's not contradict the discoveries of the AG. What we do, we explain them properly, because once you differ with the AG, what happens is we must call an inquiry. It means they must bring all your records, the AG must bring their records, and you must come before the committee to explain the regular expenditure, and you'll be exposed more thoroughly. But if you explain here, it would refer them back to you to solve them. So let's make sure that the department also comes with their report. Regarding that aspect which we needed clarity on, and you said you will give us written information, because we must analyze our entities. Next week, as I know that on Wednesday, we have got other three sitters. So we can still allow an opportunity to engage. We'll be engaged with the other one. So I think the request of the department should be really acknowledged. In the absence of anything, can I hear the DG, because we are now closing, we made a recommendation that on the basis of the report of the AG that said most of our sitters did not give them useful but not useless information. And we requested that perhaps you must facilitate a workshop of all the sitters with the AG. We are prepared to even come to assist you. We, as a committee, we have got our own strategy plan. It's very easy and nice because you don't put many things which you can do. You must only put what you can do. Do not try and manufacture the moon because you can't do it. So you sit down and say, this you can achieve, and we need this much for this. That which you can do, tell the minister. Then the minister must see whether you are still relevant for recertification at the right time after 5 years on the basis of your 5 year performance. DG.
No, thank you very much, sir. The undertaking we made when we're presenting the annual report in regard to all these matters, we are working on them. And we have already conducted the office of the AG in processing the instructions that were given by this committee towards the workshop. But whilst that is happening, we are also engaging with the respective sitters that are seriously underperforming and those that have been pointed to be dysfunctional from the standpoint of the AG. We are not taking that quite lightly. And what we have placed to the entities is that in cases where procedures were ignored and malpractices are found to have obtained, we want to see all those who are implicated held to account, and there must be consequences. That's our stance, basically. And in the process where we are required as a department, based on the evidence available at our disposal, we will not hesitate to intervene decisively in all those areas. That's our approach. And we have been upfront to our colleagues, you know, in the entities in regard to that. Because any weakness and dysfunctionality in the system is too much of a cost to the citizens of the country. That's how we approach it. And we have at all times be alive to the fact that what we are doing necessarily is not for ourselves. It's a service to these citizens of the country. They cannot be able to speak for themselves. They have entrusted us to be their custodians into doing all these things, you know, on their behalf. So that's why I say already we're in discussions with the AG, but what we are asking and what we want to see is the will to overcome all these challenges by our entities. And also our attitude to work ethics should actually change. Both in the department as well as in the entities, we should work on our work ethics and attitude and be alive of how devastating an element of entitlement that we are there or we should be there in disregard of the kind of services that we need to render to the country and to the citizens of the country, you know, at large. Those are the basic things which we think are quite important. And that is a call from our own standpoint to all of us. Because these things will not necessarily be addressed quite adequately unless our attitude to the work that we have been discharged to do, as well as our work ethics at the workplace, are radically addressed, we continue having challenges. And these are the things that we need to do in the short term, in the medium, as well in the long term. So those are the few words from us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The nature of the recommendations we are going to be doing in the future and very soon will be to say criminal charges must be preferred in terms of Section 1 of the PFMA against 1, 2, 3, 4, and mentioning names of people. And we will be saying disciplinary action must be taken against 1, 2, 3, 4, mentioning names. That's the sort of report we are going to be dealing with in the future. So let's avoid us going in that direction. Let's correct the house once there's an opportunity. And I think that signals the end of the meeting. I'll thank members for coming and all officials of the department, under the DG and the accounting authorities for the sitters that have taken time to be here. We've noted that some of the members appointed quite recently DG to be members of the board are not attending meetings. Others have resigned. We see that in the report. Let's look at those and make sure that where replacements must be effective, that is done, where others must be having other commitments, we check on that. We do see that the chairpersons are very consistent in terms of attending meetings. We see that in our reports, and we appreciate the good work and so on. So that signals the end of the meeting. It's urgent. Thank you very much.